Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now, it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
A very good Saturday to you. Hi, this is Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, The Internet Advisor. 2 hours of internet conversation. In the first hour, we're going to be talking about Project Greenlight and a special project that's keeping an eye on crime in Clinton Township. Something I think that a lot of communities are going to be paying more and more attention to. Our second hour, of course, is answering your questions, and we have the full crew here to help with the Internet Advisor, so stay tuned. Welcome aboard. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Mr. Gary Baker from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I think we might match you for humidity up here, Gary.
I tell you what, it's a little humid here, so you'll have to go a bit, but it sounds like you're having the same kind of weather.
We're looking for some cool breezes to blow through here. Good to have you with us. And then in studio, we got the whole crew. We're delighted to have with us Mr. Ed Rudell.
Always great to be here, Foster.
Cal Carson.
Hermetically sealed for your protection.
And off the ice as well. And Shane Hamlin is also with us.
Hey now.
Good to have you here. After a big week of E3, were you watching that very closely out there in California?
Well, put it to you this way. I didn't get a lot of work done. I was streaming a lot of the Xbox stuff.
You did not get a lot of work done.
I did not get a lot of work done.
Okay, I see how you blurred that.
Okay. Well, wasn't that work for you? I mean,
It is.
It's a tool.
It's research. It's research. What I need. It's what
research.
I need to cover.
That's it. That's what we'll call it. Research.
Yes.
Yeah. I would have been able to research much better there.
You know, how's that saying if you... about being paid for a hobby and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, find something that you love and you never...
Have to work again.
No, it's,
have to
work again. It's even better than that. If it's a tool, it's tax deductible. If it's a toy, it's not.
Well, being a Microsoft fan, they really took the show. So,
oh, did they?
Yeah, they did.
That was it. By the way, folks, we're talking about E3, which was the big gaming event this last week in California.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna fill us in on that a little later, but it was Microsoft X.
Microsoft X,
One X,
yes. Beautiful system.
Hey, folks, what I'm going to have you do is just hang on in the second hour, and we'll give you a chance to talk a little more at length about that. But, Cal, good to have you back here off ice.
It is wonderful.
Even though it would be a lot cooler if you were on.
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful in Atlanta. I tell you, you know, it was 76 degrees, low humidity, and I actually had to put on a coat rinkside. It was cool on the inside. Normally, I'd never have to take a coat down there with me, but this year I had to because it was cool.
Hey, Gary, did you see the big shopping event that's going up on the internet with Amazon this week?
I just saw a notice of it. I haven't paid any attention, and I haven't done any shopping, surprisingly enough.
Well, maybe it's because you don't have $14 billion in your bank account right now.
Yeah.
Because that's what it would have taken you to outbid Amazon's purchase of Whole Foods.
You know, that brings up an interesting point, because, you know, you think of Whole Foods, you think of, like, good quality, pure food. I think of Amazon, and I think of anything that you can make in China and use red paint on, you know, and I'm going like, this is going to be some interesting food, because in order to get the prices down, you never know.
Grocery margins are razor thin to start with.
Yeah.
In the world do they expect to make any money off of that?
Well, the way I hear it is basically, you know, Walmart is also a super grocery store as well.
That's right.
Amazon has to do this to become the Walmart before Walmart becomes the Amazon.
Okay.
Because Walmart's online sales are just you know, climbing and climbing each year. You know, Amazon has to do this to protect themselves.
Well, I was going to say, Amazon's going to – this is, I think, I want to say a model for success. If they pull it off – this is the way it's going to go with all the retailers. I mean, you know, Myers and Kroger's, they're starting to do it now. But, you know, if you can get the food cheaper than getting in your car and quicker than getting in your car, taking an Uber down and grabbing it and coming back, then it'll work.
I think nothing's going to be more fun than to get those drones going. I order a cream pie from Amazon, have it delivered to somebody.
I've got my net gun ready for those.
You know, well, you know, and it's also going to tie in things like Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
You know, I was really surprised to find out that Lyft has now reached 25% of the market of what Uber used to do, which was, you know, dominance. And now Lyft has taken 25% of it.
We may have.
And if you could tie that into a home grocery and Amazon delivery, oh, my goodness.
Well, but even beyond delivery.
I'll never have to leave the couch.
It may be like that Wall-E movie. We may actually end up looking like those characters in that Wall-E movie.
You know, it might be fun to get in a Lyft car, order something from Amazon, and see if the drone can catch you.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this is that Amazon already has a model of its store, what its store will look like. In Seattle, there is an Amazon store that only Amazon employees can purchase now. But you walk into the store.
Employees or members?
Employees, pardon me. Not members yet. But an employee will walk in, will use their phone to show their Amazon Prime account, for instance, and from that point on, they don't bump into another human being except those who are out shopping.
You know, I just thought about something. Gary, when you're out sailing in your little dinghy that you have, will you be ordering supplies for it via Amazon, and will they be able to find you out at sea?
I already have, and they do find me. In fact, they all find me, especially when they find my credit card. No, they. I just give them the marina address, and it just comes right here. I just picked up some things this morning that I had ordered earlier in the week.
Will they be delivering by boat?
This is at the marina. I don't think the marina sends them any further. You have to go back to the marina and pick them up.
All right.
But, you know, they do have forwarders. There's a whole industry around chasing boaters that don't actually have a home port. And you know, you send them ahead and you tell the marina that it's coming. And when you get there, they hopefully still have it.
That's fascinating. The future of shopping is just amazing. For instance, Kroger in this state has Clickit, where you call in and get your order. And I've been in Kroger's where they've been shopping for Clickit customers. And essentially, then you just simply pull up to this certain place in the parking lot. They come out with your bags and ba-boom.
Yeah. I'm so glad they're doing this. I mean, it's like the millennials are loving this. They'll be sitting at home ordering, and now I can go into a Kroger store and not run into another cart.
Yeah, you know, drive-through pharmacies were great, you know, and this is like the next step, you know.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it. Well, we've got, talking about next step in security is what we're going to be looking at shortly. We're going to be talking with one of the members of the Detroit Police Force, Deputy Chief Todd Bettison, is going to be on with us to talk about Project Greenlight, which has served to save a lot of people in party stores and gas stations from being held up in Detroit. And we're going to talk about an application of that technology to Clinton Township. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We've titled our show Keeping an Eye on Crime. And to start our conversation, I want to introduce somebody from the Detroit Police Department, and that's Deputy Chief Todd Bettison, who's with us on the phone. Deputy Chief, thank you so much for joining us here on a Saturday.
Such a pleasure to be here. How are you today?
We're doing very well, and what we're doing today is talking about keeping an eye on crime. Let me introduce the other person who's in studio with us, and his city, which is Clinton Township, is about to really get into that, and that's Robert Cannon, who is a supervisor in Clinton Township. Bob, thank you so much for joining us here.
I'm glad to be here. What a beautiful view you have. You can almost see the Tiger game.
That's close. True. Let me step back for just a moment and talk with you, Deputy Chief Bettison. First of all, there's a program called Project Greenlight that began in January of 2016 with gas stations, am I right, that joined the program to start with?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I was there right from the beginning. I was there in the negotiations. And when I was there, even when Chief Craig came up with the idea of Project Greenlight, and he tasked me and a couple other members of, you know, bringing this to fruition.
Yep.
And it's just amazing to see how a great idea caught on.
Oh, yeah.
And with the support of the mayor and actually putting, you know, that full city support behind it,
mm-hmm.
and the public-private partnership, we are where we are today with 170 businesses
wow.
that are green lights right now in the city of Detroit.
Wow. Now, let's talk about what that means practically, just kind of set the stage there. That, what that's talking about is that they have got surveillance cameras in their stores or their places of business. That information is fed, am I right, that information is then fed to a central location, or that was at least was the original concept?
That is right. So one of the things to mention is a Project Greenlight is a private-public relationship where the business owners care about the customers,
mm-hmm.
meaning they actually purchase the cameras themselves, and then they purchase the internet technology through Comcast, which allows that feed to be fed into the Detroit Police Department's real-time crime center, where we have analysts there watching and able to pull it back. And what's really important is we had to make sure that we got it right, meaning it's HD video. So mm-hmm. you remember back in the day when it was the grainy video?
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore. I mean, this video is high quality, high definition, and you don't have a problem recognizing who it is.
Cal?
What sort of investment does the business owner have to put in on average for that type of equipment, for that facility?
So, you know, it has evolved, and the original eight back in 2016 when they came on, they had to make somewhere about an $8,000 investment of their own money.
Mm.
And the city doesn't get a dime from this. We don't get a monitoring fee. We're not trying to make money. We're just trying to make folks safe.
Yeah.
So with that being said, the city is investing in the resources to make sure that our crime center and that we have enough analysts to be able to monitor the video and that, you know, pull the video back up and do what we need to do. So it's really unique because this is the first time ever where private companies are feeding directly into the police department's crime center.
Right. I want to bring on Bob Cannon from Clinton Township. But how much impact did the Project Greenlight have on the kind of concept of what you folks are doing now in Clinton Township?
Well, it certainly had an impact. We knew it was working. We read articles where they were catching criminals that were doing things they didn't want them to do. But it wasn't the same type of concept that we're implementing.
Right, yes.
Ours is far different. I think both are going to be successful in the end.
So talk a little bit of how yours is different from Project Greenlight. We'll go on to elaborate a little more on that in just a little bit, but just in general.
We had trouble with several businesses in our community not having cameras and having a lot of crime. We asked them to put cameras in. They refused. So we decided we were going to force them to do it. And the only way to do that was to pass an ordinance. So we looked around the state to see if we could find some other ordinances, and there weren't any. So my deputy, Liz Vogel, had to go out of state and find an ordinance that we could adapt to Clinton Township. And we went through it very carefully with Captain Marley and our police department, and we got input from some businesses, we got input from police officers and from other public safety officials. We wanted it to be a good ordinance that people would be happy with, not only the people would be happy with, but the business owners who had to pay
for it would
be happy with.
Right. And we're going to talk about a little more of the practical details of that. I'm curious, Deputy Chief, have you seen a countable decrease in crime as a result of Project Greenlight?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So those original eight that came on, their crime was reduced 50%. And it didn't take long. It was fast. As we bring on more businesses, we average around 35%, 40% as far as a reduction in crime. And let me say something that's really significant. Our historic hotspots, so we have some historic hotspots that have been hotspots for crime before over the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those businesses actually have become part of Project Greenlight, and Greenlight actually permanently addressed the root cause of that crime and moved it so it's not there anymore. And for my Detroit folks, Mack and Bewick, when I say Mack and Bewick, the liquor store at that location has always been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The business owner became Project Greenlight, and if you were to talk to him, he would say, you know what? It solved my problem. It's now safe. It has increased my business. And one of the business owners said that more folks who normally wouldn't stop there feel safe and they're stopping. But he made another point. One of the business owners at a gas station said, "I'm saving $2,000 a month
Wow.
since I joined Project Greenlight because folks stop stealing. They
Wow.
stop stealing at my gas station."
That Bob, that's a good statistic to take with you. Ed, you were going to say something? I'm sorry.
Well, one of the things I was going to say is or ask is, you would think that this might have an impact on their insurance. So if you install a camera and and it's shown a reduction in theft and robbery, you would think that the insurance, you could show that to the insurance companies as proof of, you know, reducing rates.
Bob, you want to respond?
We are being told by business owners, those that have them, that their insurance rates did go down. In fact, going back to what he said about a theft, a lot of these places now are putting the cameras so that you can see them, a TV so that you can see yourself as you walk in. And we're encouraging all of our businesses to put up a sign indicating that you're on film. We want them to do that. We think that'll make everyone safer.
Now, did everyone in Clinton Township that fell under the ordinance comply to the ordinance? And was there any resistance? Did you come across a business that may have been a mom-and-pop business that's basically working on the edge and couldn't afford this?
The answer is they don't have to comply until October 1st. We passed the ordinance on April 1st. So we have 6 months to go around and explain what it is. I'm doing it. Police officers are doing it. And most of the places that we go in have cameras already. We don't want all of our businesses to have it. We have a whole list of who needs to have it, like banks, coin dealers, anybody that sells liquor, hotels, motels, check cashing places, video stores, anybody that has a higher propensity to have crime.
Right.
And they almost all have cameras inside.
Deputy Chief, I want to have you seen community organizations responding positively to this as well? Because it would seem that the neighborhoods would be affected positively by this.
The whole community of Detroit, from what I see and from what I know, has responded positively to it. Matter of fact, that's how we're at 170, because community members like Miss Shirley Birch and other folks out there are going to these businesses and are actually saying, "Listen, we don't feel safe at your establishment, and we want you to be a Project Greenlight." I'll take you one example further. So Reverend Horace Sheffield has a center located in the area of Grand River in Wyoming.
Yep.
It's called the Depot Center. He actually gave the business, donated $2,500 to the gas station across the street so that that man could become a Project Greenlight. That's how bad that they wanted that gas station to be Project Greenlight.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And the signage seems to be an important part of it.
Is there any, Chief, is there any plans in the future to probably do what I'll probably describe as mobile green light? For example, if you have an area in the city where in the neighborhood there's a lot of drug activity going on, you could go in and set up something temporarily so you can capture who's involved with that and then eradicate that issue?
Well, like CCTV kind of thing? Closed circuit television?
Yeah, we have some. We're not calling that part of our green light per se, but we do have coming into effect, I would say, but it's not a part of green light. That's just a part of us moving our surveillance cameras around to address hot spots. But green light is more so just that relationship between business owners and the city of Detroit, making sure that we keep the citizens and their customers safe.
We're down to like about 60 seconds, unfortunately, in this segment. We've been talking with Deputy Chief Todd Bettison, who's with the city of Detroit's Project Greenlight. Just quickly, have you had any kind of civil rights or civil libertarians responding negatively, like, you know, this is taking away my freedom by constantly surveilling me?
1984 type stuff.
No, not at all, because we didn't do it that way. These were business owners on private property,
yeah.
So we weren't putting it on public property.
Gotcha.
These are folks on private property, and they're the ones who are buying the cameras and saying, "Hey, we want it to feed into the Detroit Police Department."
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us, Deputy Chief Todd Bettison, talking about Project Greenlight. It speaks for itself. It's gone from the original 8 last January 2016 to now 170 businesses that are involved, and I know that you and the chief are looking forward to this continuing its expansion. Thanks so much for being with us, Chief Bettison.
Thank you. Talk to you guys later.
All right, that's Deputy Chief Todd Bettison. Now, what I want to do, Bob, if you could stick around, Robert Clark is with us. He's a Clinton Township Supervisor, to talk about precisely this other aspect of it. You know, there you have business owners who of their own free will were getting involved in it. Have you had any kind of kickback from the community saying, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to be on TV necessarily. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit when we come back. We're talking about keeping an eye on crime. And this may have a big impact on your city as you listen as well. Could be coming to a party store near you. Welcome. It's the Internet Advisor. And in this first hour, we're going to be keeping our eye on crime. And we were just talking with the deputy chief of Detroit Police, and it was Todd Bettison, about Project Greenlight. Right now, however, and this is and that initial program with Detroit, with Project Greenlight, eight gas station owners in particular voluntarily joined into the program. They created the program with the city of Detroit. It was a collaboration between them. Also in studio with me is Robert Cannon, who is the supervisor with Clinton Township. And I have to tell you, by the way, I didn't realize this. Clinton Township is the largest township in the state of Michigan, if I'm all right.
That is correct. We're just over 100,000 residents, the seventh largest community.
Wow. A huge community in the city of Detroit, in our metropolitan Detroit area, of course, but in the state in general. So this is a big deal. What you're doing right now could serve as a template for a lot of communities, I'm getting.
We think it will. We've put a lot of thought into it. We've been getting calls from a lot of people. They're anxious to see what the start date does and any resistance that we get. The only resistance I've had has been from folks who are concerned that anyone can walk in off the street and take a look at their film that we want them to store for up to 30 days. And the answer to them is they can't do it. For example, a party store owner might be worried about somebody slipping and falling and then their attorney coming in and demanding the tape. Well, they're not going to be able to do that. A court order would get them the tape. But what we found out through our attorneys is that most of the time when there's a slip and fall, that you want a tape of that, because a lot of the slip and falls aren't necessarily as legitimate as people would make them out to be. So we think we're being very proactive, and most of the people that we've talked to, most businesses agree. We think that we're doing them a favor. Most have cameras inside already. It's the outside cameras that we are trying to get them to do, because even though we get a good image, as you were talking about before, that was much
an HD image, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who they are, and you don't know what direction they went in, and you don't know the license plate number, you really have a hard time catching those folks.
Yeah.
And we had several tragedies in Clinton Township that kind of came about 2 and 3 years ago. Two party store owners were killed, and they had cameras. And almost immediately, we caught all the criminals in both cases, and they're all now serving life prison sentences.
Wow.
And we know that's only because we had the cameras. People want to have safety in the stores they go to. I have an expectation when I go to a bank that I'm going to have a camera on me, and I want that camera to be in the parking lot. We had a robbery the other day at a bank in Clinton Township, and we can identify the people in the pictures, but we don't know who they are. There was no camera outside. So we're still looking for the perpetrators of that crime.
You mentioned something during the break that I think is worth bringing up to people. There's already a lot of surveillance going on outside, for instance, in your community and in Macomb County, at least, I'm going to guess.
In Macomb County, Mark Hackle had the brains to bring in this big camera system, and almost every intersection now has a camera, and it goes to an organization called Comtech on Grosbeck Highway, and we have people that are watching those films. We have solved several crimes simply by looking at the accident scene at an intersection. So
wow.
If we are not looking at any film from a party store or bank or a coin dealer. We don't have the capacity to do that. There's just too many. But we do have the capacity, if there is a crime, to go back and look at the tape. And that's what we're doing. And our detectives do a fabulous job when they look at the tapes.
Mm. Shane, you're a business person out in Macomb County.
Real close neighbors next door.
Yeah. Tell me your reaction to this. First of all, do you have cameras?
Yeah, we do. We have cameras inside and we have outside. Mm. And it's great because, I would say, you know, the area that we're in, we don't get, you know, the whole time we've ever been there, we haven't had any issues. But I've had times where I've seen people come in, look around, and then all of a sudden see their mug up on the camera and literally turn right around and walk out.
Oh, really?
And I've seen it several times.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's great. Every business should have cameras. I mean, they're fairly, you know, with technology, the costs have come down so much. They're fairly inexpensive. They're not hard to hook up. Anyone can, if you can read and follow a tutorial or a book, manual, you can install them yourself. Or you can call companies like us to help. You know, there's plenty of companies out there to do this for a living,
right,
and set up surveillance cameras and IT stuff.
You know, speaking of that, we have somebody on the line with us who is involved in helping to get that technology into the stores. And that is Jeff Marston, who is the Comcast Vice President on the Comcast business side of the Heartland region. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, now, Jeff, I want to talk about how you're working with the folks in Clinton Township, let's say business people there, who are interested in participating, you know, complying, obviously, with the new ordinance that's gone into effect there. Tell me a little bit about what Comcast is doing to work with Clinton Township.
So we had an initial meeting. I wasn't involved in the first one, but our sales director, Shonda Shorters, was there. I think we had some preliminary discussions around where our network was and some of the expectations that they could have. I think we shared the success of Project Greenlight, which you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we're very interested to support Clinton Township. This is something that, you know, we're getting a lot of interest in now, and I think has been, you know, successful by any measure. In fact, it's really exceeded our expectations, and I think that of Detroit. And like I said, because of that, I think we're getting a lot of this interest and from other municipalities and cities.
Now you have a product actually that Comcast offers, which is called Smart Office. Am I right?
That's correct. So we launched a surveillance product called Smart Office. It's similar to what we do on the residential side with Xfinity Home, but is a lot more robust. It's more of a business application, and it was really the springboard for the Project Greenlight. So Project Greenlight's a little different in that, as you mentioned, ties back to the monitoring station or back to the police department. But in either case, our customers can access it through their mobile phones. Mm-hmm. It stores the information. It's crystal clear. And we're even seeing it now in applications where we're reading license plates and tracking illegal shipping and things like that. So it continues to evolve.
So, Bob Cannon, are stores then working together with Comcast on this?
I would assume they are. We're giving them a list of people that like Comcast. They can provide the service, and they make their own decision.
Okay. So I understand that when people sign up for Smart Office, they actually you get a camera as part of that, right?
You do. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Then the information is gathered. Where does that information go? I may be asking you to repeat yourself here, if you could, just to help us kind of, because it's good to collect the information, but where does it go? Who analyzes it?
With Smart Office, it's just stored on a server, so it's in the cloud, so that it doesn't require equipment for our customers. In the case of the Project Greenlight or those types of initiatives, it's also accessible by the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps with their response times and that they can see these things in real time as well. And that was really the one of the benefits for the city of Detroit.
When you store it on the Comcast cloud, if I can call it that, how long do you retain it and how much can they put out there?
You can store as much as you want, but it's on there for 30 days.
Okay.
I guess, Bob, the question becomes then, does Clinton Township have a means of taking this information then and analyzing it and being able to use it, for instance, say, with your police department?
Number one, we don't store.
Okay.
The owners store it for 30 days.
I gotcha.
The same
okay.
thing, 30 days, and they have to have a secure area to store it in. And we will go into every business when the ordinance goes into effect and check to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to go back and solve crimes that happened a couple of days back.
Sure.
We had a gas station the other day at Gratiot and 15, where there was a robbery. Immediately we caught the people because they have cameras. 2 days later, there was an accident and some scuffling at 15 and Gratiot. That camera, outdoor camera at that gas station, recorded all of it. So we were able to solve that issue with the business camera. And of course, we thanked them for it. And we asked them for the film, but they had it stored for us.
You know, many times you'll see a story on the news, and if there's a young child or something, they'll usually blur out that image in that particular thing. How does that handle for people who don't want to be part of a recording in this particular case?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this, that all of us have an expectation that if we're in a public place that we could be filmed. Whether you're on an elevator, whether you're in a casino, whether you're in a party store. And like you said, and when people walked into your place and looked up at the camera and saw their faces, they turn around and walk out. I've heard that story every day.
They know they're being filmed as soon as they see themselves up in the cameras.
Go ahead, Gary.
You know, it does remind me of when the Freedom of Information Act first was introduced. And, you know, it was a good thing for almost everybody. There was one case where, you know, I was talking to friends of mine. We were all still in college. And they said, wow, we can take and ask the FBI if they have a file on us. And the interesting part was that if you asked the FBI if they had a file on you and they didn't, they started one. and it's kind of the same way here, right? The people that don't want to be filmed,
yeah.
This is a good thing. This is going to help every law-abiding citizen. I wonder if the people that don't want to be filmed, you know, are they in thinking about committing a crime? You know, I just wonder about how people that don't think this is a good thing, what their thought process is. Any ideas?
I don't think it's necessarily that they don't think it's a good thought process, as opposed to you have a certain group of people out there that are thinking this 1984 type Orwellian thing going on, and they just don't want to be a participant.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is not everyone knows that the information is secured by the store owner.
Right.
Because, you know, what happens if you're, and this is in the future, your health, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield or some other people you're getting health insurance sees that you buy cigarettes or buy liquor. Are your premiums going to go up? Well, those records are owned by the store owners, and they're not going to sell that to...
I don't know. If there's enough money involved in it, they might.
You know, yeah. it's not something that's going to happen now.
Or better yet, if I own a store and I sell it to you and I give you everything with that store, including those records, what are you going to do with them? You don't have any obligation. You can do anything you want with them.
Guys, we got a whole brave new world novel out there. Hey, Bob Kennedy, can
but
you
it's
hang
a good
around?
Thing. I can.
Okay, Robert Kent is with us. He's a supervisor in Clinton Township. He'll stick with us. We're going to take a quick pause. Jeff Marston is on the line also with us from Comcast Business. Jeff, if you could hang on, we'd appreciate that. And then Mike Brennan is going to step in. We're going to talk about his MI Tech News headlines. And as a matter of fact, Mike was very instrumental in helping us set up this show. Thank you so much, Mike. It's that time in our program to check in with Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. As we do every week, we look at some headlines that he puts together and shares with all of you out there who are customers of MI Tech News. And that's, by the way, anybody. It's absolutely free. But this week in particular, Mike, I want to thank you for helping us to line up some of the guests that we have on here. Robert Cannon, who is with us as a supervisor from Clinton Township, and also Jeff Marston, who has been our guest from Comcast. Thank you very much for lining those things up, Mike.
Hey, no problem. I was actually listening to the previous segment, and I think Gary Baker's had an FBI file for a very long time. So
I did not call them for that exact reason. I didn't want to know.
Okay. Yeah, we know, Gary. We know what your youth was like. You know,
actually, I found out that I did have a red file. I wasn't aware that I had one.
We're all here. Gary's on the boat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it says right there.
Well, the good thing about Gary, he doesn't have to worry too much. He can't carry the file very far because it's still carved in a tablet.
Zing. Well,
I'm really waiting for Comcast to help me out here. I'd love to have Comcast, but I need a long cord.
Yeah, Jeff Marston, are there any solutions for people who are on boats? That's what Gary asking about.
Yeah, so you mean as far as being able to get to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're continually expanding our network. You know, we continue to build in the Southeast Michigan area. There are some areas that we don't serve today.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're investing a lot, millions of dollars this year alone, in extending our network. And we'll get to you soon enough, Gary.
Well, the other thing, too, is technology is changing so fast in terms of the way we deliver the broadband signals. Mike, I'm just curious, did you have any of the other reactions, you know, as a journalist yourself for many years, you've covered the whole issue of, you know, if video surveillance is really keeping us secure or is it making us more insecure? What are your thoughts on that as a journalist?
You know, I've always been a big privacy advocate, believe it or not, and so I always get into these big arguments with folks. I mean, it's a great thing, particularly for business. But I mean, it's a double-edged sword, as one that, you know, looks at privacy issues all the time, talks about the NSA and the CIA and all those other, you know, groups all the time. I mean, it's both a good thing and a bad thing, depending on your point of view. But I mean, I think it's very necessary. It's certainly helping solve crimes in Detroit, and I'm sure it'll do it in Clinton Township and
yep.
and wherever else it's used throughout the state of Michigan and beyond. So, you know, it's an interesting dilemma, but I think it's just an evolution of where everything needs to go. People can look at it on their smartphone, see what's going on. Yeah, so all things considered, I think it's a good thing.
Okay. So, Bob Cannon, just quickly again, with Clinton Township, the ordinance was passed in April, and people have until October to comply?
That's correct.
Okay. And in the meantime, you're giving them information on a whole bunch of different providers.
We are.
Okay.
We're doing the best we can. We know that this is going to protect those business owners, their patrons, their employees, and one other group it protects a lot, too, that we forget to talk about, and that's our public safety officers.
You know, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mike, let's talk very quickly about some of your headlines that you have at MI Tech News before we wrap up this segment of the hour. We're talking this week. I get to my notes eventually.
Well, I think we should congratulate Mike for being selected to go over to Israel and participate in their cybersecurity conference.
That's exactly.
All expenses paid, I might add.
Uh-huh.
That just came out of the blue. I was real surprised that I didn't say no. There's only two of us going from the Midwest, and so we'll try to represent the Midwest at this international conference.
I know you'll do your very best.
You'll do a great job, I'm sure.
What were some of the other headlines that we had outlined for you this week from MI Tech News, Mike?
Kobo Center getting a $2 million technology upgrade, and the main reason they're doing that is because they want to attract conferences that use virtual reality or augmented reality, getting back to video again. And so those are really big bandwidth hogs when you're using that type of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to make sure, and they just spent $2 million, last year, I believe, to already upgrade a lot of the Wi-Fi. So this is one more step. So they can have 10 gigabyte broadband network there and be able to attract these really cool technology shows.
All right. How about another headline from this past week?
Well, this one's near and dear to Gary's heart, although his kids have already graduated. The University of Michigan's launched a new financial aid program called Go Blue Guarantee. And if your family makes less than $65,000 a year, you get free tuition.
Ooh. That is certainly nice for people to hear, especially to such a prestigious school as the University of Michigan. All right, one last headline that you got out there.
Yeah, you were you flagged the one where the Society of Automotive Engineers Super Mileage Student Competition.
Oh, yes.
And for the fourth year in a row, and I'm going to butcher this because my French is horrible, Université Laval in Quebec has won for the fourth year in a row. And because they use such lightweight materials, solar energy, things like that, are you ready? 4,113 miles per gallon equivalent.
Yeah, most of us would like to get mileage like that, I guess, but we wouldn't have. Yeah. We'd have to have the solar panels and the unique kind of designs on their vehicles. Well, Mike, thank you so much for those headlines and also for helping us to line up our program this week. We're going to wrap things up here in just a moment with our guests who are on our phone. But if you'd like more information about these kind of headlines, simply go to mitechnews.com and put your email in there, and it's going to be sent to you absolutely free every week. There are two feeds, one's on Wednesday, one's on Friday. You'll also get video and audio feeds on Wednesday and the headlines on Friday. Mike, thanks so much for being with us again.
Thanks, Foster. Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, you know, I want to wrap things up, if I could, both with our guest in studio here, Robert Cannon, who is a Clinton Township supervisor, and Jeff Marston is with us. He's the Comcast vice president for their Comcast Business Heartland region. And I want you, if you could, Jeff, just to kind of go over again what Smart Office is and what you are offering as a tool to businesses, for instance, in Clinton Township, who would want to have the video surveillance.
So our Smart Office product is exactly that. It provides video surveillance. It allows them to store crystal clear images in the cloud and access it remotely for 30 days on their smart mm-hmm. devices or any other computer. It's been a wild success for us early on, and really, you know, it's getting a lot of interest from a lot of businesses and municipalities.
Excellent. And as you said, it's available for 30 days in the cloud there, and people can, pardon me, take that information then and use it, for instance, in solving crimes. Shane?
Hey, Jeff, real quick, is that the camera that's provided, is that an indoor-outdoor camera, or is this a, what kind of type of camera comes with this?
It's a 720p camera. It's an indoor-outdoor camera. It's, like I said, clear enough to read a license plate.
Nice.
So, Jeff, can you have, as a business owner, can you have multiple cameras, and is there a way to control those views, or is that just a static view that Comcast is capturing for you?
It's a fixed view. They don't move or oscillate back and forth, but you can have as many as you feel you need. We just provide one with the service.
So the package comes with one camera, and you can buy additional cameras and add them to it?
Correct. We also will lease them, too.
Mm, I got you. Okay. Shane, did you have something to follow up on that?
No.
Okay.
Perfect.
Bob Cannon was with us. This has got to be kind of an exciting time for you and for the city of Clinton Township, because you're like on the cusp of the verge of doing something that could be tremendous, have a tremendous impact for businesses. Ed, you mentioned insurances. Insurance costs should be changed by things like this.
We think we're doing the right thing. We think that other communities are going to follow shortly behind us. It's even the same thing as in-car cameras for our police department, the cam recorders that the officers are wearing. It's for their safety. It's for their protection. And for businesses, it's just a smart thing to do.
Absolutely. Jeff, I want to thank you very much for being with us. I don't know, is somebody trying to sink Gary's boat? I'm hearing a lot of noise. I hope not.
Those pirates I was talking about.
Uh-oh, those are the pirates again. Jeff Marston, thank you so much for being with us from Comcast. If people are interested in this, they can follow this up. We have a link to Comcast on our homepage, and I'm simply by going to Comcast Business, they can find out more information about this. Right, Jeff?
Absolutely. ComcastBusiness.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. And, Bob, thank you for being in here as well. I know that this has got to be kind of a busy time for you guys, as well as you set this thing up.
It is a busy time, but we're excited to help solve crimes with these tools.
And you're seeing that happening, which I think is important.
Yes, we are.
You know, and it's tying into some of those video resources that are already out there in the community. You mentioned Sheriff Hackle having had the foresight to put those cameras at those intersections.
Actually, he started it when he was sheriff, but he's county executive now, and he's gone even beyond that. He's done a fabulous job in Macomb County.
I knew him back then, and had interviewed at that time. That's why it stuck in my mind. So it's great that that's now expanded to the community. I've got to wonder if at Mackinac, when they were in the conferences up there, if they talked about this.
That I don't know.
A conversation behind locked doors there. Well, thank you so much for being with us in studio here. And that's Robert Cannon, who is the Clinton Township Supervisor. The program is has been there. The ordinance is out there.
It's out there.
One thing maybe to go back to again is it doesn't necessarily apply to all the businesses in Clinton Township.
No, we don't care if a donut shop has one. We don't care if McDonald's has one. Anyone that has a higher propensity than average to have a crime committed has to have one.
But they can have one if they want to.
They certainly can have one. And if you don't like the idea that we're making you have one, you have an appeal process to go through with our police chief, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us in studio and explaining this. I'm excited to see what happens out of this.
We are, too.
Keeping an eye on crime, not just in Clinton Township, but really around the rest of the state. Thanks. And, guys, are you ready? Coming up the second hour, it belongs to the listeners. And that means if you folks out there have a question, you need to get on the horn at 800-859-0957. Again, that number is 800-859-0WJR. Could be a question about your printer, about your computer, about your modem, whatever it may be. The one rule is to give us a call quickly, and the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Looking forward to you taking over this next hour here at the Internet Advisor. We got plenty of people here to answer your questions.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the show, and we have a full crew here, literally ready to help you. Gary Baker down in Fort Lauderdale is on with us, Mr. Shane Hamlin in studio. We also have Cal Carson and Ed Rudell here. That means lots of people around with lots of experience, everything from Windows to Mac and you name it, IT. All you got to do is give us a call, 800-859-0957. We're standing by for you. Well, we certainly have a full complement on deck here, ready to start answering your questions. Bruce in Grosse Pointe will be with you to kick things off in just a moment. That number again is 800-859-0957. Thank you to Eric Dorsch, our super engineer who helped run the last hour, and also to Danielle Mason, who's in right now. And thank you to Logan Standifer, who is our producer and is with us in studio again, answering the calls. Thank you so much, all of you, for being there. Let's go right out to Bruce, and we said call early, call often, and let's honor that by saying hello to Bruce from Grosse Pointe. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm great this evening. How are you guys doing?
Very well, sir. What can we do for you?
Got a question for you. If you know anything about the new, here you just had somebody from Comcast on, but about anything about the new Xfinity Mobile program that's just been launched?
I saw a lot of that being advertised and talked about when I was in Atlanta last week, and I haven't seen anything at all up here yet that really talking about that mobile program yet. But it go ahead.
I just received something in the mail this week, and it talks about no access for up to five lines if you're an Xfinity member. They use the Wi-Fi and Verizon as a partner, and it looks like you know, as little as $12 a gig as far as data costs.
Wow. You, we still got you there with us?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, good. All of a sudden I heard a line go pop and hope that that wasn't you that was disappearing. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know about that. That we should get somebody.
We need to get, what's her name back here from Comcast?
Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle Gilbert. Get her back here. Jeff Marston was just on with us from the business end of the thing. No, I, you know something? That's interesting. I haven't heard about. I am going to, while we're talking on here, you guys are talking, I'm going to see if I can text Michelle and see if I can get her on to talk about Xfinity Mobile. She may know something about that. So talk amongst yourselves.
I'll tell you what, every time I hear anything that says 12 bucks a gig or any kind of limited or you pay for, I freak out because I'm so unlimited. You know, I can do.
Oh, I
so grandfathered in. I wouldn't switch if you paid me.
Well, I tell you what was scary is like, you know, with Sprint, I've got like unlimited data on that thing. And I was looking the other day. My daughter, I'm only halfway through my monthly cycle. My daughter has already went through 42 gig of data.
What?
42 gig
of data. I used 300 megabytes last month.
I think
I looked on my phone. 300
megabytes.
I think
she streams constantly.
Yeah,
she's got to.
Yeah. And you know something? Doesn't cost me anymore.
Right.
I love it.
I'll tell you what, being grandfathered in and having that, you know, it comes in waves. You see that unlimited, and then they charge you.
Yeah.
It comes in waves. So at this point, it's beneficial for me to just stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they have unlimited for $45 a month, but it looks like it looks how they're tying in is using all the mobile hotspots that businesses have developed all around the community. And if you don't need the, you know, if it accesses the Wi-Fi automatically on these phones, that might take care of part of the need for the unlimited gig in itself for data.
Yeah, it appears they got something really big going on. I'm looking at their website. They're doing things with the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus, and they're also doing it with the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus, and a lot more models as well. So this ought to be interesting. We really need to get a hold of Michelle.
Right, if Comcast ever hits Northern Oakland County, then I'll probably take advantage of that. But
now,
but they don't even go to my house.
From Xfinity, they have Xfinity hotspots. They have an app that you can download and go from hotspot to hotspot. Is this different, Cal? Can you see anything on their website that ties that in? Because that's been around for a little while.
Yeah, this
for 6-8 months.
This looks like they're using these hotspots also for doing mobile phone conversations as well, I think. But I'm digging deep into it, and it's a lot to look at. So we're going to have to really do some deep dive on this because there's a lot here. The devices are going somewhere starting at $31 a month.
Which is comparable if I was to get a new phone from my Verizon or AT&T. That's what it would cost me if I wanted to get
S8.
Yep. And then the $45 unlimited, that's about the same. And for Comcast, who, as Gary said, has infiltrated a lot of free business and home network, if they can do VoIP, you know, they may just make out on this. You know, if they're going to be partnering with Verizon and AT&T to provide their service, Comcast could really make out if people live in an area where there's all these hotspots.
It is changing continually. Yep. We're going to see if we can get one of our old friends, who's Michelle Gilbert, is with Comcast. We'll see if we can get her on the phone with us. It's kind of suddenly that I emailed her. We'll see if we can get her back on the line with us to talk about that this afternoon.
Now the only hook here that I noticed, it says include it with your Xfinity internet service. So
correct.
If you're not getting internet service from Xfinity, you won't be able to take advantage of their mobile plan.
Right.
It looks like if you do have Xfinity mobile service, that you can have up to 5 lines with no fees. And as you said, I mean, I have a 11-year-old who's been screaming at me for telephone.
11-year-old.
And, yeah, he needs it to talk to his friends. Right?
I know.
Yeah. Oh, that corded phone with the 20-foot extension cord just doesn't do it anymore.
Or how about that nice little walk outside with the 2 feet to go see your friend and talk to him?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Bruce, we're going to see if we can get somebody on to help with this, all right?
Thank you. We look forward to listening.
All right. Thank you,
so
much.
I didn't get text to my children, and they hated me for it until they were 16 years old.
I hear you.
I know. I'm sorry.
I hear you. All right. 800-859-0957 is the number. We'll look forward to hearing from you. If you've got a question for us, give us a call right now. In all fairness to Comcast, we've made our calls behind the scenes here, and I don't know if at last minute they can get somebody on to talk with us about this, but we're trying to find out more information for Bruce and for anybody else who's interested about Comcast's Mobile.
I'm sure they got the mailers. That's one thing they'll let you know.
Yeah, that's true. All right, now, again, we tell you at the beginning of the program, and I beg you to do this, call early, because our lines are not as busy as they are. Typically, after the bottom of the hour, people said, oh, I got to call in now. Call in right now, and there's plenty of space here at 800-859-0957. Whatever your question may be about, maybe about cell phones, maybe about an Apple product, a Windows product, you name it. We've got people in here who are very expert at any of those systems. If you got a network concern that you'd like somebody to help you solve, we got some people in here who know how to do that. Shane Hamlin, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson are here, and Gary Baker from way down in Florida.
You know, I finally figured out what the deal is. The first half of the show, they listen to the interviews, and then at the middle of the show, they start popping popcorn, and they forget, and then they run back in and call in and make questions.
That's what happens.
Speaking of popcorn, Shane, now you said you were listening into some gaming announcements.
Yes,
you had got your popcorn. You were sitting there.
I'll tell you what, it's like that. But you stay tuned for all. You want to watch them all because you want to know what's going on in the industry.
Right. Just as background. E3 was the big gaming show that took place last week.
That's once a year. That's the big one. That's all the electronics for gaming comes out. They usually debut their latest hardware and their new systems and their games that they're never gonna make. You know they seem, but. For some reason, Xbox and normally Xbox doesn't do so well in these shows. You know, they make a lot of promises and no arrival dates a lot of times. You know, with a lot of these games that are
okay,
nice. But they actually have released these games and with the dates that they're being released. So, which is something is new for
now is E3 a break off from the Consumer Electronics Show, or do they still have gaming for the Consumer Electronics Show and this is a second show?
Total separate ordeal. E3 is more, I want to say, the Hollywood, the big Yeah, and
it's out by in California.
It's in L.A. Yeah,
it's, yeah, I mean, it's put out by all the gaming companies, I mean, the writers and stuff like that.
Right, it's the big one. It's the fancy one.
But Shane, is that the only place you're going to find the gaming industry really big on? Because I thought it had spread beyond California.
Well, no, they have like PAX. You know, there's different gaming, I want to say conventions or shows that go on. You know, PAX and E3, and there's a bunch of them. Consumers, you know, they all deal with gaming because it's such a large industry.
So what was the big news for Xbox then?
Well, their new system, the Xbox One X. That's the fastest gaming system ever made in history.
So it's a whole new console.
Which with PlayStation already did with their Pro series, the PS4 Pro.
Mm.
They came out a little earlier than Xbox, and they have it October. It's coming out. It's $499. True 4K resolution.
Wow.
Liquid cooled processor.
Oh no, kidding.
Just a beast, and it's actually the smallest unit they've ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
And they just can't get the numbers in sequence. I would think a 360 would run faster than a 1.
One X. Xbox One X.
Okay. And, you know, it's good that they put the liquid cooled in there, because remember, a lot of people remember the Red Ring of Death with Xboxes. Xbox One did not experience that, so they learned their lesson. The games on there are just... even my daughter now is invested in an Xbox One, and she does all those...
What is Internet it about games. Microsoft that they get gaming, but they don't get so much else? You were being teased about the fact that your Microsoft phone, Windows phone is no longer here. My wife got a Windows phone that we're going to have to get rid of because we're starting to get these notices that, I'm sorry, but that application is no longer being made for Windows. Oh, come on,
it's
guys.
Following the dollar. I mean, the gaming industry is... It's huge. I mean, that's where they want to. That's where they're making their money.
You know,
they're going to make a fortune off of this machine because it's going to sell like you wouldn't believe.
With this unit being smaller and that sort of thing, are the controllers like wireless as well?
The controllers are wireless, and the controllers are very basic. Basically, Xbox is always good, and actually, all of them are good at keeping the controllers fairly similar. Because when you play with these controllers and they make a change, it not just screws up your gameplay, but there's a lot involved there where competitive gameplay. The pros. You've got to keep things fairly similar.
Would you explain that to our audience? There are actually pros at playing these games.
It's at a point in history now that it's probably the biggest it's ever been. You've getting good at a game, you can go pro and play a game for...
They actually have a TV show on
several.
Several. On was it Friday nights? Or instead of me watching... reruns of Friends, I'm watching... It's game night. watching live gaming.
They did a huge... it was a couple of weeks. It was a huge DayZ survival game where they just dump off, you know, several teams, 20 teams. There was actually one from Michigan, and there are teams of four or five, and they drop these 20 teams off, and it's last man standing. And they
What do you drop them off where? Like a desert island?
In the world? No, in an environment.
Oh,
an open world environment, and it's huge. And they drop them all, you know, for 20 teams.
Oh, it's a virtual gaming world.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So you've got your little. You know,
can you imagine off dropping off a bunch of geeks on some desert island?
Right.
They're not going to survive, Foster.
Right.
So this is an unknown map, unknown gaming scenario. Last man survives.
Yeah, and you want to get to the resources like hospitals and gun stores, and you want to get ammo, and there's vehicles, and last man standing wins.
Wow.
And it's insane how they broadcast it like it's a real sporting event.
Now, two things. In the past, the Xbox units have been not just gaming consoles, but also entertainment consoles as well.
Yeah.
So, like for streaming TV, for playing movies and stuff like that. So, when I'm being small and stuff like that, Gary, do you think there's a spot on your boat you can fit one of those on? And is there a need for it since it's multi-use?
Well, you know, you really have a whole world out here. You know, you're not be playing games. You're going to be out swimming and cruising and snorkeling and doing some kayaking or whatever. I have my electronic corner in the
See, there might be those rare days when you're out to sea and the little rough seas and some rain and stuff like that. You may have to go inside instead of laying out there on the deck and just bronzing yourself, right?
Well, and you know, I'm still working, guys. I am.
Yeah, right.
Working,
work, so. work.
Yeah.
You call that work?
I have a little printer set up here. And
oh, I love it.
Do some work.
See, that's it. He has the printer set up, so therefore it's classified as work.
Yeah, there you go. I've got two laptops and the phone in front of me and the hotspot. And,
we got to only hope that you're using waterproof paper.
I haven't figured out if the salt water is going to eat my computers and my hard drive yet.
Ooh, so that's true.
We're doing an experiment here. So far, so good for the first month. So.
That's true. The corrosive.
Well, you can always go to ruggedized laptop. You know, which has
the Panasonics, aren't they? They're the ruggedized ones. Yeah.
Yeah. We just ordered two of them for figure skating. They're the ruggedized ones. We use ringside because of the humidity and stuff like that as well.
Sure.
So I'm thinking I'm going to go with Chromebooks and just throw them away when they get.
That's an option as well. It's expensive. Expensive those tough books are.
Don't throw them away at sea though.
Yeah, they're right.
No. End up on that island with all those plastics.
Well, they talk about making those things boat anchors. You know, you can use it for that, too, I guess. By the way, our number here again is 800-859-0957. We're enjoying the conversation. Hope you drop in, too. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, we're here until 7 o'clock this evening. So if you've got a question about your computer, about the network, about the printer, whatever, we can talk about gaming if you'd like. 800-859-0957. We'll drop whatever we're doing and take up your cause at 800-859-0957. Ed, you took on answering a question this week, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a user that basically had a Windows system. It was running Windows 10, and what happened is, unfortunately, there was a hard crash, and he must have selected the wrong option, and when all was said and done, it was restored back to the Hewlett-Packard OEM factory of Windows 7. He wanted to know how he can get Windows 10 back on there.
So he had upgraded from that original setting to Windows 10. There was a crash, and they said, where to go now? What do you do in that kind of a situation?
Well, basically, he's lucky because if it's shipped with Windows 7, it's more than likely has a UEFI or UEFI BIOS. And what happens is Microsoft stores, if you will, the product key, the licensing for Windows 10 in the BIOS. So he could just download and install Windows 10, and Microsoft will welcome him back into their loving embrace and won't bother them with a security key again because they recognize that he had it in the past. Is that about right, Shane?
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well, all this data that he created.
I didn't want to make it sound creepy with loving embrace.
But no, exact words I would have said.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we're beginning to get some calls here. That's a good one. We'll answer your questions as well at 800-859-0957. Back to take those questions in just a moment with the Internet Advisor. Well, the party has begun. Maybe this is the warm-up to Father's Day. By the way, happy Father's Day to all of you dads that are out there, and or like me, perhaps stepfathers. We want to salute you as well. Thank you very much for the leadership that you have given your families and for being out there. Happy Father's Day, dads. Shane, you're worried about the skies being cluttered?
I'd stay in the house tomorrow. Because,
why?
Well, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of drones given away for Father's Day tomorrow. And, you know, the kids are going to buy their dad a drone, so it's not going to be, you know, a $900 drone. It'll be a $40 or $50 drone that they really can't control that well. So I'd probably just stay in the house because those things will be flying everywhere tomorrow.
All right. Let's head out to New Baltimore and welcome Randy. Randy, how may we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Oh, I'm sort of trying to help you, maybe.
Oh.
I was in the car listening to your program. I appreciate it very much. Very informative.
Thank you.
And you were talking or had a question about the new Xfinity Mobile.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. What it is, I can't remember the abbreviation for it. They were in the past, and they officially re-signed an agreement with Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
They are a reseller like Simply Mobile, Total Wireless, U.S. Mobile.
Oh.
The companies out there that buy excess capacity from the carriers, like Cricket that's actually owned by AT&T, would buy excess capacity.
Okay.
That's what Xfinity is doing. They're buying that excess capacity and calling it Xfinity Mobile.
Oh.
So the carrier that'll be they'll be using is Verizon. The rate plans, because I saw a business article on it, is not as competitive. There's a lot of restrictions in it because they're saying $45 unlimited, providing your Comcast more or less premium provider, like the bundle deals they offer, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's basically, lack of a better term, they're a reseller.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is why I love our listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah, because one of the things when he was talking about the hotspots, I don't know what you guys have at home, is the newer router they have has that connection where it can activate a hotspot and go online and can find them and use them.
Yep.
And that's available to all, I think, Comcast users.
Yes.
It may be only the... what do they call the new platform, the X1 platform?
Xfinity?
Same thing I have at home.
Xfinity, yeah. But, you know, by the way, just to confirm what you're saying, Randy, I've had the same thing when I've been out, because I'm a Comcast or Xfinity customer. I've been able to hook up, matter of fact, securely, and that's the real issue when you're out, is hooking up securely to a hotspot. I can hook up securely to an Xfinity hotspot when I'm out.
Oh, you know something? I made a mistake, and I clicked on a button on there that's, you know, it says more details, and what the big button giveth, the fine print taketh away.
Exactly. When you said on the Wi-Fi thing, one thing that I don't know if you mentioned the users, that on the router, that's actually a separate, lack of a better term, gateway into the router.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take away space.
Right.
They can't access, or the modem, I should say, not router.
Mm-hmm.
They can't access your
network.
Your private network.
Right, exactly.
It's sealed up.
So what were you saying?
I can't remember. You probably know, because who does, is it Aeris that Xfinity uses now for their modems?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think those are Aeris brand modems, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because Aeris makes good network stuff, not as good as Cisco, but...
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Hey, Randy, we're going to move on because we have a whole bunch of...
No problem. I just want to tell you
where
it was coming from and clear up some of the fog.
I appreciate that, Randy. Thank you so much for pitching in. I agree with you. I love this. Oh, look who's here. Michelle Gilbert is with us. Michelle, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Foster, how are you?
I'm delighted. Michelle is a vice president for, give me your full title, please.
Vice president of public relations for Comcast in Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, the question we had put up before us, and some people were responding there, is what is Xfinity Mobile?
Sure. So Xfinity Mobile is exactly what it sounds. We are now providing wireless service, and this is really, it's really the best of both worlds, because so many people are relying on their Wi-Fi at home more and more, but they want Wi-Fi out and about.
Sure.
So we are now offering mobile service to existing customers that will be smart enough to know when Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots are available, and when they're not available, it will automatically connect you to the 4G LTE network, which is not ours, but
we
teamed up with one of the biggies.
Am I right, Michelle, that what you're also offering with that, we're talking with Michelle Gilbert from Comcast, what you're also offering is a level of security as well? Because we've talked often, you know, when you go to some place and you see a Wi-Fi network just pop up, don't just jump on that and think that you're secure. It could be a man-in-the-middle attack, you know, or...
Sure.
Any number of different problems. Sure. There's a level of security that's provided by going to hotspot to Xfinity, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to log in with your email address. And
there you go.
And so does everybody else. So we, we monitor our network very carefully. And, obviously with any kind of hotspot, you just do have to be careful.
Yes.
And you can't open an email like I did a couple weeks ago and click on a link and...
Oops.
See where it leads you. Yeah, it looked real. It really did. But I learned my lesson the hard way. I think that Xfinity Mobile, what's great about it is it's for someone who wants to bundle. And it gives you the ability to bundle with your other services. And it gives a lot of flexibility. It's $12 per gig. Hmm. Or unlimited. I think right now the unlimited price is on promotion for $45 unlimited.
Okay.
And there's no access fee. So a lot of the carriers charge a $20 access fee. So for a family of four, before you even add data, you're spending $80 on access fees.
Yeah.
And we are not doing that. We are just charging for the data, the calling, the texting, that is all free.
Michelle, two questions, if I could. This is Cal. One is, number one, how are the cellular rates in comparison to the cellular rates you get as a normal cellular person using that type of service? And is there any caps or any throttling that's done at a certain data limit with the hotspots?
So I pulled off on the side of my side of the road, so I don't have anything in front of me.
Oh.
I'm going to have to get back to you. I do believe for the unlimited plan, I do believe that it's 20 gig, and then I do believe then the speeds go down. And it does say so on our website.
Okay.
So I will double check and I will get back to you guys because I know that you do talk to your listeners often, even from week to week.
Yes. Now, Michelle, by the way, if you could, send me a link. I will do is I will post it up in the show notes as well for people who want to follow up with the Xfinity Mobile information.
I think we should just bring her smiling face in studio to talk about
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I could do a heck of a lot better job for you guys. I will come in a couple of Saturdays. You tell me when.
Okay, good.
And we can talk about it and talk about who it's right for and who maybe it's not right for.
Gotcha.
Because it might not be right for everybody, and we're not necessarily looking to take over the wireless world. We're looking to add more value for our existing customers and those who want to come over. You know, we think it's a tremendous value, not having to pay the access fee in and of itself.
Right.
And then being able to just even buy a gig. I'll tell you, I have a 9-year-old who this is perfect for because I can give her 1 gig of data, spend $12 and know that she's got the peace of mind to make a call whenever she wants.
Yeah.
And then use the Wi-Fi at home, which she's frankly already doing anyway.
Michelle, we will get back with you in a couple of weeks and get you on to answer some more questions and give more information, all right? Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Great chatting with you guys. Look forward to doing it again.
Oh, thanks. Michelle Gilbert, who is a vice president of PR out there for Michigan and for a number of areas here in the Heartland, what they call the Heartland District. Thank you for pulling off to the side of the road and helping us out that way. Great job. Thanks so much for doing it. Let's head out to, and by the way, I will post the link that she sends as part of our show notes here. Let's go to Kevin in Livonia. Kevin, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a problem with email.
Mm-hmm.
I have a boss that likes the iProduct. I really would rather have Android, but I don't pay for my iPad or my phone. But I've got a Windows computer, and I get an error message, and I don't get emailed as a Windows machine when we use Outlook.
Okay.
Okay, use Outlook web-based mail or Outlook
client?
Client, like the Office 360.
Office 360.
Okay.
So what will happen, it will show up on the computer at the office, but it may be a day, 2 days, 3 days after I've got them on my phone.
Oh, so it doesn't show up right away on your phone.
Well, probably.
No, it shows up on my phone, then my iPad, then the computer at the office.
But it takes 3 or 4 days to get to the computer at your office.
Right.
Well, that's strange.
Do you have more than one email account coming to your mail client? Do you, do you have Outlook and Google and Hotmail and or?
I've got my company email. Mm-hmm. My phone has my iPhone, I had to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same on my tablet as the iPhone, but it's only one going through that. The mail key we can't hit on the bottom of the computer. Excuse me, I'm a stupid heating and cooling tech.
Lost. No, that's okay. So you're heating, cooling, but your work computer, you said you have your email coming through on it, and it's an Outlook email. And it doesn't show up on there right away, but it shows up right away on your phone. Shane, do you have any?
Somewhere close.
Boy,
whatever the phone resets and whatever it's set for. All the emails, once I'm in.
Kevin, we're going to do this. Matter of fact, we're coming up on a break right now. We're going to put you on hold, and what we're going to do is, while we're in the break, we're going to see if we can find out some answers for you on that as well, okay? 800-859-0957. Norman Onstad and Alan Cleveland will get to you as well. And then when we're in the break, we'll talk with Kevin and see if we can straighten out his email situation as well. Okay, thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor with your questions. And we're going to be answering those in just a minute. As we continue, we're going to be wrapping up our program in 15 minutes. So there is still time for you to call in, 800-859-0957. I'd like to thank Danielle Mason, who's been working as our engineer here, and Logan Stantifer, our producer, who's helped us out. First hour, Eric Dorsch was in here, our super engineer, helping us. And what's happening right now is that Shane is working with Kevin offline, so we'll let him continue to do that to try to unravel his email situation. Maybe some other thoughts, Ed, that have come out of this, Ed and Cal.
Well, one of the things that Gary suggested was possibly... most email clients, you could set up a push-pull, like how often do you query to get email?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is possibly a password issue. I was thinking about by going in and resetting up the email account if it's cloud-based. Yeah. So what did it end up being?
Well, we're gonna have his IT department break down that account and reestablish or reset it up again.
Somewhere
down the road, there was a setting. Something was misplaced or was set up wrong.
Yeah.
And I told him to call us back
in
a future show and let us know how that turned out.
That's very good. Thank you very much. A couple things have happened this afternoon. One is we had a listener call in with an answer to us and some information. We love it when that happens. So don't be bashful. If you hear something happen here and maybe we gave an answer, but you have had practical experience with that and can fill in the blanks for us, please give us a call at 800-859-0957. It's good for answers as well as for questions. We love to get in touch with our listeners that way too. Steve in Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Good to talk to you.
Yep.
Got a new computer. The old one had Windows 10. The new one has Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I moved everything over. Did not have my favorites on Google Chrome. And I was fishing around. Finally, found something and accidentally put an icon on the desktop marked, bookmark. How do I get that back onto Google Chrome under the taskbar?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be under favorites. Cool. Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, it sounds like you created a shortcut which you then put onto your desktop.
I did it by accident.
Yes, I know.
How long ago did you do this?
The date was 6/24/2010 when I found it by accident because I was fishing around trying to find the favorites or the bookmarks.
See, it was my understanding with Google Chrome that if you have a Gmail account and if you log into that new computer via through the browser to that Gmail account, it should import your bookmarks anyway.
Yeah, it does.
And that's what I was going to suggest is on the old computer, log into your Gmail.
Yes.
And then it'll synchronize it up to the cloud, and you can do the same thing on the new computer.
And then you would go into those little ellipses on the end, the settings on Google Chrome, and then just go to where it says favorites and say show these.
Wait a minute, I have to restart or redo the old computer? Crank it back up and hook it to a monitor?
See, I don't think he has to do that.
No,
did you ever log on to Google, to your Gmail account on the old computer at any time?
I don't regularly use Gmail, but I had to for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they should have at least some of those bookmarks already stored out there. So if you log into Gmail
using
in
Google
Chrome
on
that new computer, it should bring those bookmarks over for you automatically.
Okay.
Now, that's one option, and that's the best option. The other one is Google Chrome still supports, as you inferred, the ability to export your bookmarks or your favorites. Here we are. I'm saying favorites. I've been Microsoft to death. you can export those bookmarks from Chrome to a bookmark.html that you're referring to. And then, you can, on your new computer, you can import those that bookmark file into your, that's the old-fashioned way of doing it.
Is the old computer still functional?
Yes, but barely. The hard drive is starting to make noise. That's why I...
Yeah, sure.
change.
Yeah, if you turn it on and do what Ed has prescribed to you, you should be able to get those bookmarks moved over to where you want them. The second way is just to start up the old computer, open up Google Chrome, do an export of the bookmarks, email them to yourself, and then on the new computer, open up that email and then import that file into your new Google Chrome.
Yeah, I believe it's Bookmark Manager.
Okay.
Yeah. Google Chrome, yeah. And that's where you were probably fiddling around with. Yeah. Then you have the ability in there to export bookmarks to an HTML file.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, I hope so.
Well, let us know, please. Hey. You can do that by emailing us at internetadvisor.net.
Or call back.
Or call back, yeah.
And then the other thing is the new computer found my LaserJet printer, Hewlett-Packard.
Mm-hmm.
Found most of my office jet except for the wireless scanning. Is there a HP website or something that I can?
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. You want to take it?
Go ahead.
Go to HP.com and then go under support and then go under printers, and it'll ask you to put in the model of that printer. And you'll put that in there, and then it will say, what operating system are you using? You put in Windows 10. And it will show you a utility. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be HP Easy Start. And you just download that onto the new computer, follow the instructions after double-clicking on it, and it'll set that all up for you, including the scanning interface along with it.
Okay. I guess the thing that surprised me was the fax works, the phone works.
Yeah.
That's because Windows 10 has the capability built into it where you can go ahead and use the generic faxing and all that comes with it. But if your particular printer has some unique characteristics, for example, a document feeder on it or something like that, then you need the HP version in order to do it.
Okay.
Anything to add to that, Shane?
Nope.
Got it all. All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that.
I'm scared. I was doing Windows stuff.
Windows 10 has a ton of basic drivers installed, pre-installed. And that's what happens. That's why you plug in, play, it detects it. But a lot of the features won't work.
Yeah. How does Windows 10 move your data over for our other listeners? So if our listener, the caller that just called in, he had an old Windows 10 and he has a new Windows 10. How the heck did he move his data over?
He probably did it personally by hand.
Because Windows 10 doesn't provide a wizard.
No. They at one time Windows invested in Aloha Bob, which was a transfer program.
Yeah, the MiGWiz.
It was built in, and it's not anymore.
They don't have Windows Easy Transfer anymore?
No, but if you buy the cable for $21 at the store, it comes with MiGWiz. Yeah.
But, I mean, how hard is it to go into your user profile, copy your documents? I mean,
for us, not so much. Yeah. You and I are used to folders. Now people, they just drop it into their faves, and that's it. And they, where's my faves? They're gone. You know?
It's devastating.
Devastating.
Yeah, it's the end of the world.
So the Easy Transfer cables, the USB Easy Transfer cables, are worth the headache. You plug them in. They come pre-installed. They auto-load a program that says, would you like to load this program? Yes, I would. Would you like me to transfer all your data? Yes, I would. Done. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen that somewhere before. I think they call it Migration Assistant on a Mac. You don't even have to go out and buy a cable. You can say, it'll say to you, would you like to do it over Wi-Fi? Would you like to do it over Ethernet?
And Microsoft did. I'm not sure why they didn't do it with Windows 10.
I don't know why.
They just pulled the plug.
Yeah, because Windows Easy Transfer was really a nice tool.
It was easy. I used it. All right, listen, we can wrap up here maybe with a question for Norm out in Onsted. How are you doing from the Irish Hills, Norm?
Good. I've got an iPhone 7 cell phone, and in the camera mode, I cannot focus in on slow motion, video, photo, or square, but I can. It shows I'd be able to take a picture on panorama and on the time-lapse.
So are you trying to zoom in on in something in particular?
No zooming in. It's just to try to take a picture.
So you're saying that when you're in the iPhone 7 and then flipping through the various modes within the standard phone on the iPhone 7, that only a couple of the features work and the other ones, like the magnifier and the...
Slow-mo does not work. The photo does not work. The square does not work.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Yep.
Do you, on that phone, how much memory do you have available in it still?
About 225 gig.
225 gig.
Oh, you got the big one.
And what version of the iOS are you running?
Well, the most...
10, I think.
Okay, so you're going to go into general. You go into settings, go to general, and then go check for the version of your iOS, and you should have 10.3.2 running. If you don't, upgrade it to that, reboot the phone, and I think all those features will start working for you without a problem.
Okay. I haven't yet done the new one, so okay.
Yeah. 10.3.2 is what you want
to
have on it.
There were some initial photo or camera issues on the first release of the iPhone 7, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that's okay. The reason why I'm saying he needs to update the software.
Yeah, I don't work with it.
Okay.
Well, okay, Norm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the cruise with your phone. Speaking of cruises, Gary, I thank you for joining us here during both of these hours of the Internet Advisor. Captain, you can now set sail for your sunset cruise down there at Fort Lauderdale.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of a problem that I don't know if you have this problem or not, but this song keeps running through my mind.
That's right.
What is it? What is the song?
Gilligan's Island.
All right. We'll have to have that as our background for you, Gary. Thanks so much, Gary Baker, down in Fort Lauderdale. Shane and yes. Kel and Ed, thanks so much for being with us. And folks, you can find our show notes at internetadvisor.net. Thanks all for being with us this weekend here on the Internet Advisor.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.